quit asking me questions. Yeah, I know you, but we ain't friends. Quit asking me questions. Yeah, we in this section, but you can't get in. Quit asking me questions. Yeah, I got the new Chrysler, it's blue with the tint. Quit asking me questions. I'm tired of these questions, asking me questions. That's one of my questions. They all in my business like TMZ. But back in the day, they ain't noticed me. They weren't coming to see me like Otis, but I always thought like the coldest. I had a little chip on my shoulder. Then I got older and older. And I had to flick it off. I feel like a boss, like I'm Ricky Ross. But I got no Maybachs.
Here we go. Politically miscorrect. I think this is episode number 21. That is absolutely amazing. Ethan, do we got audio through me? We've been having some serious audio problems lately. Can everybody hear me talking? We good to go? Alrighty. Oh, this is going to be a great show, man. There's been a lot going on. I am excited for this. I got my glasses on because the TV is way over there and I'm old.
Yeah, you're getting old.
Yeah, I got two youngsters behind me here, but yeah. Let's be
full. I can't talk. I have glasses too.
2020 check.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I guess first off, let's go right here. So we got Ethan to my left.
What's up?
All right. And then we got Ben.
Howdy.
To the front, but on my computer it says back. And then we got me, the old person in the group. First off, we want to thank our sponsor today, the Southtown Poorhouse. Every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse. Get half price apps and taps every day from 4 to 6:30, and Thursdays are even better with Thursday night steak night. Get a 10-ounce hand-cut ribeye with a side of loaded mashed potatoes for just $12 from 5 to 9, and add a side salad for only $2 more. And they also have $3 pounders Thursday night, too. That's right up my alley. Make sure you check out the Southtown Poorhouse events page to find out when your favorite band is playing live. They're open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. This weekend, they got Friday night is Fool House. And then Saturday, they got some shitty cover band. I've actually seen the shitty cover band. They're not shitty at all.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that that was their actual name. I thought you were just referring to them as shitty. I was like, God, all right.
No, that's actually their name. And they're awesome. I've seen them before.
Some ad we've got. Go check out the shitty band that's going to be there.
Every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse, 2015 Library Circle in Grand Forks next to the Grand Cities Mall. Call 701-757-3825. Like I said, they're right across the parking lot from the GFBS studios, right over by the old, you know, Kmart there. Be sure to check them out. Go check out those bands. All right. So I think I did all right on that.
Yeah, you did a pretty good job.
How's the audio sounding, by the way? Are we like quiet or are we loud?
Any of us? I don't know.
It sounds good.
We'll assume that we're good.
Yeah, I mean, it's today, good. I've been dicking around with the audio here.
Let us know in the comments. Just let us know if something doesn't sound right.
Yeah,
we'll make sure
people are commenting on Facebook.
Okay.
Sweet.
All right. So, Mr. Ben, I know we got a lot to talk about today. What you got in store for us, buddy?
That's an understatement. That is a supreme understatement. There has been so much going on in the news this week. We've got talks about packing the Supreme Courts coming from Democrats. We've got talks about removal of the Electoral College. Ukraine and Russia are on getting close on ties. We got the Chauvin trial going on. We've got the killing of Dante Wright. CNN's been exposed and James O'Keefe is getting banned. Everything is being going crazy right now. So first, though, I kind of want to bring up a point that I think that America today is kind of heading in the direction that we did in the 1960s, as far as race relations and racial tensions go. I think this last year and a half, is going to spark more racial tensity than we've possibly ever seen since the Jim Crow era.
Yeah.
And one thing that's really starting to bother me is the all-out attack when it comes to racism against white people, despite popular opinion and, you know, popular belief. Yeah, exactly. Despite the amazing word that everyone hates. Despite all of that, white people are clearly being targets of racists in the year 2021 and the year 2020. We've got people that are okay going out on the streets, marching and saying Black Lives Matter. That's all okay. I agree with the phrase. Like, yeah, of course Black Lives Matter. All lives matter, right? But if I were to even think of posting anything on social media saying White Lives Matter, my life is done. I'm losing my job. Mm-hmm. I'm losing all my friends. My entire life is ruined because of the woke culture that's going to come after me. However, if we speak openly racist about white people,
it's all okay. It's perfectly
totally 100% fine. So talking about this, I wanted to bring that up because everyone's favorite Chucky doll from the Biden administration, Jen Psaki,
the ginger.
I'm gonna try to keep my my words very careful here.
She's a ginger.
Yes, that's all we need to say. But no, she recently did a press conference in which she was asked about the vaccine and getting the vaccine out to more people, and about how there's a hesitancy in quote like rural white conservative areas. The rural white conservatives are a little more hesitant to take this new vaccine, or new vaccines rather. And she was asked about this, and her amazing idea is they're going to outreach more to white conservatives in rural areas by posting more ads on country music TV, NASCAR, and things like The Deadliest Catch. So,
hey, just a second. We can definitely know why North Dakota has a supermajority conservative. They are completely out of touch.
We are literally that entire state. We're that entire group of
conservative
people. Rural areas go conservative
for a reason. That's because liberals are completely out of touch with rural America.
Exactly. And that can be a point we can also touch on later about the Electoral College when it comes to Middle America. Mm-hmm.
Middle America lives matter.
Exactly. All of them do.
Yeah.
White, black. I think this is a pretty funny point to bring up as well. So first to start off with Black Lives Matter, and then the Stop Asian Hate started. So we got Asian Lives Matter.
Porks.
They kind of have to be a little more careful with the water they're treading around right now, because they're getting kind of close to All Lives Matter, if I say that. But obviously, if I were to say All Lives Matter last year,
A racist.
That was seen as a racist comment.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
Me agreeing really that... Isn't. And there was this post on social media that was going around all the black squares and all this stuff. There was this post that was going around that was like what people think Black Lives Matter is, and it was just this like graph where all of them are low, and then Black Lives Matter is like way up here as far as importance. And then it's like versus what it actually is, where it shows it all very even, where it's like trying to say that Black Lives Matter just as much as everyone else. It's like, yeah, that's the point. That's what we've been saying, but we're not allowed to say that because it's a counter protest. So obviously we get in very big trouble for that. But anyways, Jen Psaki, Chucky doll, gingers, creatures. Okay. So we got this clip here. If you want to pull up my screen really quick.
Why don't you get it to full screen there?
Oh, yeah. Let's get it in full screen. Do you got the
Is it loading this time?
probably. Do you have the audio?
Yeah, we should be good. Oh, my bad. There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, thank you. That's why you should be in this chair.
Exactly.
The New York Times last week with a story that Mississippi was having a hard time getting folks vaccinated, but it's not just Mississippi. It's a bunch of other rural states, Ohio, Oklahoma. Choppy. They're at 34% vaccination rate. Even so, opening up vaccines to out-of-staters. I know we talked a little bit about before the preliminary steps, but has the White House been in touch with these governors to see what they can do now? Because, of course, this impacts herd immunity and the goals of the White House just to get these shots in arm.
Well, there are a number of steps that we've taken in the recent weeks, including launching the.
All right, Ben, I'm going to have to have you end the video there. It's all chopped up. That would be those audio problems that we were talking about earlier.
Oh.
So, I mean, you can kind of hear, but it's like.
That's what she sounds like anyways.
Exactly. we'll get the audio problems fixed, and then we'll have to circle back to all this.
Perfect.
Look at that. Perfect. But yeah, you get the point. I mean, like,
completely her out answer, of touch.
They're all out of touch. They think that. And by the way, she was talking about Ohio and Mississippi.
That's not rural.
That's not rural America.
I know. No wonder why they can't win rural areas. They're like, oh, Democrats have the policies for rural areas. They can't even identify what rural areas are. How can they pass good policies?
Also, where did skin color come into this?
Yeah, it's...
What did that have to do with anything? Like, she was talking about Ohio and Mississippi, and Jen Psaki's up here like, all those damn white people always trying to ruin our vaccinations. Like, and to say that you're going to reach us by CMT, NASCAR, and The Deadliest Catch?
No one watches that.
I don't watch any of those.
No one.
And I'm still not going to take the vaccine.
Conservatives stopped watching NASCAR after the Bubba Wallace hoax.
Exactly.
And the fake news.
And like,
it's completely garbage now.
And like 2 months later, after that was already debunked, he was still trying to claim that it was a noose. It's like, no. Okay.
No noose. No, I got in trouble for saying that, and I was right. I was fine. People exactly. owe me an apology.
But people don't want to talk about that, though, because I think a majority of what's happening in the country right now is spawning from absolute fear of being called a racist. I truly genuinely think there are a lot more conservatives out there that are afraid of being conservative because of how we've been attacked socially. I genuinely think that if I were to sit someone down, not even like if they had no idea what politics were, but they were posting black squares and all this stuff and they didn't follow anything. And I was like, hey, would you support lower taxes? Would you support keeping the family together? Would you support, sticking behind the religious organizations, all these conservative ideas, would you support not letting kids change their sex and get sex changes before they're 18? And if like if you agree with that, look at that. You're a little more conservative than you may think.
Yeah, that's so true. Conservatives or rhinos are very scared of being called words like white supremacist, racist. You just can't bow down the wokeness. If we don't stand up to it, that will mean the left will get their way and America will be doomed.
Exactly. There's a very big debate about the culture war going on right now. And a lot of rhinos and these very weak and squishy conservatives or these neoconservatives are trying to say that it's just not the thing. Like, how do I word this?
Do not bow down to the mob.
Exactly. Don't let the mob basically, take you. Just don't let... Don't be afraid of the word racist. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say right now.
Even if you bow down to them, the mob is still coming after you. They will attack you. They will hurt you. The mob doesn't care if you virtue signal. Mm-hmm. There was literally restaurants that put Black Lives Matter, and they still were burnt down by these domestic terrorists.
They don't care.
Don't bow down to the mob. Virtue signaling will not save you.
Exactly. And it's not going to... Like, how did those tax breaks for corporations work out for Republicans in the end? There was just a committee of 100 different big corporations, leaders of big corporations, talking about how they were going to get behind voter integrity laws and these different laws that Republicans are trying to push.
You know, it's something
they're not on our side.
Something that I can point out here that shows exactly how dangerous everything is getting is that, you know, you guys are half my age. When I was your age, I was, you know, trying to figure out how to beat the next level of Mortal Kombat or whatever it was. It wouldn't even been in my, you know, periscope or whatever it is of thinking about this stuff. But because it's come so relevant in today that, I mean, the two of you even like being so involved in this, which I think is awesome, but... When you know, when I was like in the 90s, politics wasn't even a thing. Mm-hmm. Like you were out there and you were out sitting there doing, you know, trying to do tricks on your skateboard, out there trying to, you know, flirt with girls, go to the pool, do whatever. And I mean, you guys are a perfect example of why this is so important, because I mean, it's just crazy. You know, you shouldn't even be in here doing this podcast. You should be out there just having fun, looking for college life and all this kind of stuff. But I do think it's awesome that you are here doing this.
But the thing is, Paul, is the culture has dynamically, incredibly shifted. So this is not the same culture that even we had, I would even argue, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Completely different culture.
Let's have a little thinking exercise here. Let's all just close our eyes, think, and just travel back to the year 2019. Explain to someone right now, or in 2019, explain to someone what is happening in the country right now without them looking at you and probably having you institutionalized for being a crazy person. Because this, like, the stuff that's happening...
You can say shit. It's okay.
The shit that's happening in our country right now, it's terrifying. Like, and I think just going on the point... You set me up. I feel like Ladies Pelosi with the hairdresser. You're the hairdresser, and I'm Nancy Pelosi. You're setting me up right now.
That goes to the government, by the way.
Oh yeah, but no, it's not. You trust those bozos with anything? But no, the bigger point. I'm sorry if I cut you off, but I just wanted to finish this point here, which is the bigger point, which is. The things are changing, and things are never what they have been, not only 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but especially, like, Paul, when you were growing up, I as far as I know, I don't think you had to worry about your free speech leaving. You didn't have to worry about your Second Amendment being taken away.
No, I had a pager.
And the thing that made me so active about this, Paul, is that nobody talks. These things are important. They are very, very damn important. If they pack the Supreme Court and we lose that, the Supreme Court loses all meaning. It's basically nullified at that point. There's no point in having a Supreme Court if we're just going to keep throwing on as many people and as many people as we want onto it. Because what's going to happen? The Democrats are going to put four people on there. Republicans are going to take power, assuming that we don't get, you know, HR1 passed. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to add five more, and we're going to take the majority. But, like, it's going to keep being this teeter-totter, and, like, you can't set the president, okay?
The bottom line
the here... president was tried to be set by FDR back in, like, 1937, where he got shut down 70-20 in the Senate.
The bottom line is the new normal sucks, and we cannot accept it. We have to fight back.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why I've been
New normal
so
is an oxymoron, just like social distancing, just like all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to become so active, is because the culture war kind of struck differently with me.
We're losing a culture war.
We are losing very big time. And that is why I wanted to become so active about it.
It all started in 2012. Everything went to shit.
I've lost dozens of friends.
Hey, you can't say shit on this show.
Yeah, come on. No, like, I've lost, like, dozens of friends. I've lost hundreds of followers on social media, all because I started speaking openly about my conservative views. But you know what? I am more happy now than I was before I started talking about it, because I feel like I just, more than anything, I wanted to get the ideas out there and I wanted people to listen, Paul. That's why I felt so blessed when you asked me to do this podcast. And I told you the first day I would do it for free, because I honestly don't care. The only thing is I just want to get my opinion out there and I want people to listen. That's all I care about.
You wouldn't have got paid anyway.
Exactly.
I'm not getting paid. Why would you get paid?
But we're losing. We're losing big time, and people are too quiet. And if we're quiet for this long, we're not going to see the same America that we all grew up in. And we're going to realize that it was too late. And I don't want it to ever be too late. So that's kind of the reason why I got involved with it and
run for office,
watching what's going on right now.
Hold on, I was looking for the button that would. I don't know. We'll just try that one.
Run for.
No. There it is. There it is. Ethan, it looked like you had something to say.
Yeah. So there's a thing called complaining and owning the libs online, but there's also volunteering, donating, campaigning, getting politically involved. Not saying that Ben here, you complaining on this show is a bad thing, but we should really run for office or really start fundraising and doing the little grassroots thing and take down rhinos in our community and own the libs.
Exactly. And I think all
in Bismarck.
I think all conservatives kind of need to start doing that. We need to get involved in local school board elections. We need to get involved in the local committees. We need to get involved in mayor races. Like we need to get out there because we lost the education system. Mm-hmm. The education system is completely owned by the left. I think there are 12 liberal professors. Right, there are 12 liberal professors for every one conservative professor right now in the college system.
Yeah, and you're talking about colleges. I would even go further to say the youth.
Middle school is really bad. It
pisses me off to no end that my daughter has to wear a mask. And I don't know if they're really social distancing anymore. I mean, 3 feet, whatever. But it doesn't matter. Just the fact that they have to wear masks in school. Why? Why? There are children. Why are you making them wear masks? It is asinine.
And we just got kicked off YouTube again. There it goes. We were back.
It usually takes a day or two.
Yeah. Well,
so
in a day or two, we're going to be gone.
Grand Forks Middle Schools, they've actually been forcing kids to support radical bills, and it's not a good thing. It's happening here in Grand Forks. It's not just California or New York. It's happening here. People don't realize that. It's happening here.
Exactly. And the Illinois Board of Education, roughly a month ago, mm-hmm. passed a bill basically forcing their students to become activists all throughout the state. So
yeah, and it's happening here too.
Yep, and it mandates teachers to...
You guys hear that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is there a truck?
So they're doing construction in the mall, apparently. So they aren't supposed to start that until later. So maybe I'll go out there and I'll start busting some thumbs.
Yeah, bitch at them.
Yeah.
Get them on the show. Maybe they can help us.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I totally forgot what we were talking about now. I got so sidetracked. We have to get
involved in politics.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that whole spiel.
Instead of just crying about it on this show.
And not even that, just if you can't, like, there are people that genuinely just don't want to do it, all right? There are people that genuinely, they don't want to get involved in the local races. They want to just live their normal lives and keep moving on. The least you can do is say something. Share this podcast. If we share something tonight or at any point that makes sense, you agree with, you want, like, and if you think in your head, like, damn, I really, like, I wish my sister saw this. I wish my brother saw this. I wish my friend saw this. You know what? I'm going to share this on Facebook because I want to get the message out more than anything else. It's the culture war. We're losing. We're losing big time. So
So John commented on here. He said, New Heights to be exact. My oldest class had masks on in pictures. And not social distance. My youngest, no masks, and not social distance either. I'm kind of there's no consistency with masks. I'm kind of confused by that, John. So maybe if you could comment in a little bit more and tell us a little bit more into that.
I'd appreciate it. Or you could call in. The number's in the top right of the screen if you want to call in, and we can talk a little more about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're free or like if you ever feel like you want to add in or call at any time, the number is right there in the top right of the screen. So feel free, get involved in the conversation. We'll take any call basically.
Okay, yeah, John, it's 701-213-0863. Hold on, I got to grab the phone though because it's probably on the other side of the room.
Yeah, you should probably go do that.
And then you guys figure out what the next topic is.
Okay, are we moving on?
George Floyd.
Yeah, okay. So the Derek Chauvin trial continues. It is wound up now. The defense has rested its case as of today.
Mm-hmm.
I think the jury will convene on Monday and start.
That's correct. That's correct.
Deciding what the hell they're going to do. I feel terrible for this jury. No matter what they pick, we're screwed. Yeah, welcome to the Summer of Love 2020 Part 2.
Yeah. Minneapolis is currently on fire again. That's a different topic. It'll probably go a third time if the BLM terrorists don't get their way on this one. Chauvin, of course, is having a mistrial. I'm just going to say that now. He's having a mistrial.
Or a hung jury.
Yeah, 100.
One of the two. Either way, I think he walks.
Yeah, he's going to walk free. That's what I've been saying since day one.
If the justice system prevails. So there is still a chance he might get manslaughter. And that's just because of the jury and all the pressure that's going on around this case.
Yeah,
I think the jury, there is a chance that they might cave to the pressure. However, if the justice system prevails, based off all the evidence we've seen in this case, Derek Chauvin's an innocent man, and I will die on that hill.
Yeah, same. Overdose.
Overdose, 100%.
I got in trouble, actually, and many people owe me an apology again. And owe a lot of other right-wingers an apology as well.
Exactly, and I think a lot of us honestly owe Derek Chauvin an apology.
Yeah.
We honestly do. I was convinced up until literally this case started. I was like, okay, I don't know, like, there's conflicting death on whether he killed him or not. Mm-hmm. Either way, I still thought Derek Chauvin was a bad police officer. Comes to the case, and we find out that he was just using moves that he was trained to use.
Mm-hmm.
The body cam footage from his body cam got released. He seemed to be working, I would say, pretty patiently with George Floyd for mm-hmm. the way that he was acting. I mean, he wasn't complying. He was resisting. He said he put him in the back of the cop car. George Floyd was freaking out. He's like, I can't breathe. I'm claustrophobic. I don't want to be in this small area. He's like, all right, it's all right, man. He's like, I'm not going to shoot you. I'm like, and he opened the windows. He had the AC on. He's like, I'm not going to shoot you. I'm going to stay by you right here. George Floyd asks to be put on the ground. So Derek Chauvin takes him, puts him to the ground in a knee restraint that they are taught by the Minneapolis Police Department, which has gone on and had use of force trainers, like national experts in use of force training with the police, that went on and said, A, his amount of his use of force was justified by the amount of George Floyd's resistance. He said that first. And honestly, he went on a little further to say that it might have been justified if they actually used a little more force. And two, we've had people come up and testify on behalf of the defense, and they literally just admitted that the hold that Derek Chauvin put George Floyd in, A, his knee wasn't actually on his neck. Like, possibly, I don't know, was it at all?
No.
It was never on his neck, was it?
It was for brief.
On his shoulder blade.
It was a brief part, but it was mostly the shoulder blade. The thing that was caught on camera, that's the brief part when they had it.
And it's just a bad camera angle.
The video wasn't even for 9 minutes. The video didn't go on for 9 minutes. It was only like 2 minutes. But then after the 9 minute Porsche, the 9 minute rhetoric occurred like by the media after the video went viral.
Mm-hmm. And we've had medical examiners go on and testify in this case as witnesses, literally saying that the hold that he put him in couldn't have blocked his arteries. And even if it did, like, let's say it did block one artery, the veins and the other artery in your neck are enough to keep enough blood flowing to your brain to keep it functioning. So that couldn't kill you. The knee on the back of the shoulder blade, and even on the neck for that short period of time, even if it was on the neck, can't kill you. It cannot choke you out. You can't get choked from being pushed on by the back of the neck. You have a spine here. It's in the way of your trachea. It kind of protects you a little bit. It's really nice. And a lot of people don't know this, mm-hmm. apparently. But, like, and here's another really, really good point that I actually found out about today. So if you were put in a situation where you either had to take the same amount of fentanyl that George Floyd had in his system, as well as the meth, get COVID, and his irregular heart disease that he had, or would you rather have someone who's 140 pounds and has 40 pounds of equipment knee on your neck for 9 minutes? What would you choose?
9 minutes.
I'm picking the neck restraint.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that much fentanyl and meth. I know that's going to kill me.
Ben, you could do it. You could restrain me on my neck for 9 minutes right now, and I'll tell you, I bet you $1,000 I'll survive it.
Pulling on, and then we'd just be straight copying from Stephen Crowder.
In all fairness, if you lost, he still wouldn't be out $1,000.
That's true. That's true.
But the issue is, if you play stupid games with police, you're going to win stupid prizes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Don't resist arrest. Don't be an idiot.
Mike says, do it. Hey, you know, I don't want to sit here and go on this whole George Floyd Chauvin thing. I mean, it's just, I'm so tired of hearing about it. Everything's already up in flames. Mm-hmm. Now we got, what is it, Devon?
Dante Wright.
Don, yeah, sorry. I apologize if I got the name
Dante Wright hoax.
Yeah, well, hoax to an extent. Like,
it's a hoax. If it's an extent, it's a hoax.
Ah, fair enough. So for anybody that doesn't know, obviously everybody probably does know, but if in case you live in a cave under a rock and this is the first thing you're hearing all week, Minneapolis is back up in flames again after the shooting of 20-year-old Dante Wright in Brooklyn Park. Basically, just like the George Floyd case already and the Jacob Blake case, and, well, why don't we just say every other single case that's went media mainstream about police racism?
For the last 3 years.
Yeah, they're pushing fake things. And we already know that. They were trying to say he got pulled over for having an air freshener in the back of his car. No. He had
fake news.
He had what was it? He had expired tags on his registration that he got pulled over for. Also had a warrant out for his arrest for aggravated robbery.
He was a thug.
He put a gun to a woman and demanded $800 from her and said he was going to shoot her. He was wanted for aggravated robbery.
Has this been fact checked?
Yes.
Yes. You just have to do a background check on him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep. And it's in Brooklyn Park's judicial records and stuff. And there were people, there's even a hoax going around that's saying that when they sent the warrant out for that specific thing, they sent it out to the wrong address. That wasn't true. That was a different warrant for a different case that they sent out in February. He had a court hearing, I think, April like 4th or something, and he was notified on March, I think it was early March, he was notified about it, and he still didn't show up. So this narrative that he was just this young black kid who, you know, never did anything wrong, and he was an angel, and then the cops just showed up and they're like, I'm gonna shoot a black man, and then they shot him, is totally BS.
You know, the other thing too that I noticed is, you know, his mom was on there talking about it, and if I'm not mistaken, she's white.
Yeah, he's actually mixed. Yeah, I believe he has a black dad and white mom.
Yeah.
So my question is, why did BLM get involved with this? Why? Where did race ever come in this case? Do you see
it's
any?
Fun. It's fun for the. Life
do you see life. Anything in that body cam footage of him being arrested? He is being detained by a black male cop. So a black cop's detaining him. Hands over. He gets kind of handed over to a female police officer. I don't remember. Is it Jen Potter?
Yes. Yeah,
Kim
like
Potter.
That. With their logic, they should be focused on women's the qualifications of women being police using BLM logic.
I agree. Because if you watch the video, he's being detained and he's in handcuffs. And literally the second that he's handed over to this female police officer, he breaks out and he tries to get back in his car. So he's resisting arrest, number one.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Exactly. Now we're not saying we should have prefaced this by saying he didn't deserve to die. Okay? He did not deserve to die. He wasn't a good person, but in this particular instance of him getting pulled over, everything could have been avoided if he would have just complied with the police.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I
but that
was
doesn't
taught.
That doesn't mean that he deserved it, okay?
Yeah, and everyone was taught that.
It's
and
a tragedy.
That's something I was talking about the other day. And you know, the female officer that shot him that, you know, thought that she was going for a taser. Excuse me. You know, maybe she wasn't. Maybe she was. Who knows? Maybe it was bad training. Maybe she was panicked. Maybe whatever. But I guarantee you she wasn't out there to just go murder somebody that day. And she has to live with this for the rest of her life. And now she's on trial for it. I mean, this is probably really devastating to her too. Now, don't get me wrong. It's way worse that a young man died, but to sit there and say that, like, she did this on purpose.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that's the case at all.
Zero. I highly, highly, highly doubt it was on purpose. So anyone that doesn't know, again, this was the female cop. He broke out, resisted arrest, tried to get back into his car and tried to drive away. The female officer yelled, "Taser, taser, taser. I'm going to tase you." Pulled out her firearm and shot him. He drove a little farther and then he died from the gunshot wound is what I believe to be the story as of right now. So I honestly believe this is a call for involuntary manslaughter. She has been arrested and has been charged with manslaughter. I think this is the right thing to do. I do see this very much being an involuntary manslaughter case because she did directly cause the death of him, but she had zero intent or she didn't have a depraved heart in order for it, for that situation to be played out. I think it was just genuinely an accident. I think she was had a lot of adrenaline pumping through her. She was in a very, very, very high pressure situation. And when you have that much adrenaline pumping through you, you're prone to make mistakes. So there's been this post going around. It's like, how do you, like, these things are two totally different weights. How can you not tell the difference when you're holding a heavier handgun versus when you're holding a lighter taser? And my question is,
we got somebody calling in here. Oh, this is either going to be really good or really bad. Hi there. Welcome to GFBS. Thanks for calling in. Oh, are you there? Oh, I probably got to turn on the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Hold on. Give us a second there, caller. Connecting. All right, you're connected. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Sweet. What's your name?
So this is John. I was just commenting on there.
Oh, thanks for calling in, John. What do you got for us?
So I actually saw this on Facebook earlier today. So I have an 8-year-old that is in second grade, and I have a 7-year-old that's in first grade. And I was seeing pictures. It's actually posted on Facebook on the New Heights page of a class. And one class is wearing masks, and they're not social distance. And the other class has no mask on, none of them. But yet, the thing is they got to wear masks when they're outside, and they got to wear masks when they're in gym and running around. And it just doesn't make any sense. That's why Ed said there's no consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's completely bogus. They will push this on students, even though they don't even transmit the virus.
Mm-hmm.
It's facts, and it's been proven by the CDC, if we even trust it anymore.
Yeah, and I kind of get into it with mom a little bit, because I get really hyped about it, because I can't stand wearing a mask. And now when I go out in public, I just don't wear them anymore whatsoever. And I know, and I've commented before, I've had major issues when I go to Hugo's.
Mm-hmm. And yep, they're very strict on
awful
it.
Awful when I go to Hugo's.
Yeah, they're
and I've
very
actually
bad
watched
on
I watched somebody get followed by 4 employees.
Jeez.
Because they're wearing a mask, and made him feel like he was stealing, and it's absolutely wrong.
That's horrible.
All you have to do is just tell them that you have something wrong with you and that you can't wear masks. And then when they ask you what you have wrong with you, you just declare HIPAA laws and the Fourth Amendment, and you don't have to tell them. I mean, that's a good way to work around it. Under HIPAA laws, you don't have to disclose any of your personal medical information to anybody that's not like the government or in need. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could pull that, but yeah, I agree.
Or you could say you're some sort of minority, and as a gay man or as a Jew, I would love. You can't.
Oh yeah, get the minority points in there as well. Yeah. You got to make sure you do that.
Act like they're denying the Holocaust. Or something.
No, but yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like, there's going to be very serious. There's going to be some mental trauma, I think, following this, as well as within the kids' population, mm-hmm. because kids right now, even just right now before the pandemic, their rates of depression, rates of anxiety have been skyrocketing, basically, in the United States. And my question is, like, have people never heard of hypochondria? The health anxiety? Like, where you get, like, a headache and you think that you have brain cancer? I had that for a little bit. It's awful. It's like, literally every other day I was convincing myself that I had something wrong with me. It was pretty terrifying. But
we had Dr. Jean Golix on the show, and she's a child psychologist. And I think she said her youngest patient that was 8 years old committed suicide.
Oh, my God.
You know, and I mean, and the things that are going on, I mean, they can last for 80 years. She said 80 years. Mm-hmm. These kids are going to have to deal with this stuff.
I could see it. I mean, the real question is the cure worse than the actual virus itself? I think that's the real question, because people are saying we need to lock down, we need to keep restaurants closed, you can't go to church, but suicides are on the rise, drug use is on the rise, mm-hmm. alcohol abuse is on the rise, homicide is on the rise.
Yep.
So, like, there are real effects. And another question that I actually want answered is this a dangerous virus or not? Do we need to take it seriously or not? Because if this thing was as deadly as Ebola and spread as much as coronavirus does, nobody would leave their houses if people were genuinely afraid of it. Like, you're afraid that you're going to die of this virus, yet you still openly chose to come to Walmart knowing you could catch the thing. Obviously, you're not that damn afraid of it.
Well, you're safe with your mask.
No, the funny thing is, I actually walked into Walmart once.
Thanks for the call, John. I really appreciate it.
At some point, Americans just need to keep calm and carry on. Like, nearly in Britain, there were bombings going on. And at some point, they're like, keep calm, carry on. Who cares? It's just normal life. That's what we need to do. Or else there's going to be consequences. And there has been consequences.
Yeah, and this is the new normal.
Oxymoron.
Why should we have a new normal? Why should we have a new normal?
We shouldn't, and that's what we're here for. That's the entire idea of the conservative movement.
Hey, you know, guys, honestly, I'm so tired of talking about COVID.
I think we all are.
We talked about, shootings, Minneapolis, up in flames, as usual.
We didn't 2020 part two.
The new normal.
Yeah. No, it's okay. They're mostly peaceful.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, everything's been redefined now. Racism's been redefined. Mostly peaceful's been redefined. If you have something that's mostly peaceful, aren't you admitting that some of it isn't peaceful?
Yeah.
Like, you're literally admitting
you're
by saying
that's
like
that. 25% of it or something.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Which
is
also not true.
Yeah, well, like 98% of the people that had flights on September 11th, they had mostly peaceful flights. It's like, you're using this to ignore what actually happened. OJ Simpson was probably peaceful for 75% of the night when he,
But hey, January 6th was a lot worse.
Exactly. Like, they're going to go on and say like, oh yeah, it's okay. Insurance can cover it.
Insurrection.
And all this thing. And then what was broken at the Capitol? Like one window?
A few windows.
It was a few windows versus like the $3 trillion in property damages, or $3 billion in property damages done.
By the way,
over 30 lives lost.
Wasn't that Antifa that did that anyway, disguised as conservatives?
There was a supposed investigation into it. I don't trust the FBI, CIA, DOJ. Don't ask for anything of them when it comes to investigations. You're not going to get
Biden. DOJ
out of it.
Dropped that.
They dropped it right away. So.
Hey, what else you got on that list there that we were going to be talking about?
HB 1298.
Yeah, the
explain what that is. I don't know what that is.
Okay, I'll let you build on this, Ethan.
HB 1298 was a bill that bans fake women from participating in women's sports.
We don't even need to say fake women. Can we just say men? It bans men from competing in women's sports. That's it.
That's true, but it just comes down to delusion. Delusion is when you think something's a problem when it isn't. Privilege is when you get to actually do something when you're not. Trans people are privileged because they could just demand to be in sports when they're not even that gender.
And
sorry, Ethan's killing me here. Yeah, he's either up or down. I can't figure out where to put the camera on him.
But trans people are privileged using that logic. They are privileged, and it's not a good thing to have men competing in sports. The state qualifying time in the 200 in North Dakota is 201. High schoolers who qualify from state can compete with D1 college students if they change genders. I ran a 201. I can compete with the top runners in the United States for women. Like, any mediocre runner can compete with the best of the best women.
Exactly. And I think like the number one like thing that I kind of find a little weird or funny about this is, so when the left is talking about gender and they're talking about transgenderism, right? All the radical identity movement.
Exactly. Call it what it is.
Exactly. They made sure right away to make the distinction between sex and gender, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, do we have a difference in male and female sports because of sex or because of gender? Do we have male sports and do we have female sports because it's all about if you want to identify as a male or if you want to identify as a woman, or is it because of the biological differences that men and women have that tend to give men an advantage. I'm not going to apologize for saying that either. Men are better at sports. That's why more people watch it. That's why they make more money. They're able to bring in more revenue because people actually want to watch. Like, sorry to tell you, but it's just the facts.
Sorry, not a lot of center back women in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather watch someone break 4 minutes in a mile than barely run a 4:30.
Exactly.
Sorry, high schoolers can run 4:30 miles.
Can anybody can anybody listening right now name a professional female soccer player that's not on the women's national team? I can't do it.
I couldn't do it because I don't watch soccer, or the football.
Whatever it is, I don't know. We got there's a lot of weird names for it. But yeah, like, men and women are separated on the basis of sex in sports for a reason.
It's called Title IX.
Exactly. Title IX.
To ensure equality.
Exactly. There should be a men's sports league and there should be a women's sports league. Because it turns out if you were to mix the two, there would be no female records anywhere. I'm sorry, okay. Listen to this. So the U.S. women's national team has debatably been one of the best female soccer organizations in the world for the past however many years. We've been dominant on the world stage. And basically, the male soccer team aren't going to help us at all. The women's soccer team is basically all we got. And we've been so dominant on that world stage. And you would think, maybe there's a chance they could put up, maybe not against the men's national team, but maybe they could keep up with some D1 college teams, or maybe some D2 college teams.
There's still some trans women.
Hey, really quick, I got a comment because we had Carrie. She said, that is totally sexist comment. I have a couple nieces that play hockey and they can run circles around the boys their age. And I mean, Carrie, I appreciate, you watching and chiming into the show. But, if I were to give my two cents on this, it sounds like your nieces are very young. They haven't hit puberty yet.
Exactly.
I don't foresee your nieces playing in the NHL against other male NHL players. And, I don't mean any disrespect by that. If you want to make a comment on that, by all means do. That's just my opinion.
There are some women, especially in track, that can beat men's, and they are remarkable women. I'm just have to say that. But taking the averages, if you're looking at state high school times versus women's state high school, taking men versus women in state times, they are completely different by minutes.
Exactly. And that point that I kind of wanted to bring up earlier about the women's national team for soccer, they've been dominant on the world stage, debatably one of the best teams ever. Okay. I've got through that whole spiel. You would think that they would keep up with a D2 boys soccer team or a Division 1 boys soccer team possibly. Can you pull up the screen here? And I just kind of want everyone to read this. FC Dallas under 15 boys squad beat the U.S. women's national team in a scrimmage. U15 boys. What was the score? Was it close? It was 5-2. Anybody who doesn't follow soccer, you probably know the stereotype that soccer doesn't have very high scoring games. That's a blowout in a soccer game. 5-2. That is when, I'm probably going to get some people to drop flies here, but when Netherlands beat Spain in the 2014 World Cup 5-2, that was a big story because everyone thought that was a blowout. 5-2, a bunch of under 15-year-old boys beat the women's national team. So, yes, there are differences between men and women in sports. And another thing that's very dangerous about this is if you're pumping males with estrogen, right, with testosterone blockers, basically, and estrogen, it's fairly common in the male sports world that you're not supposed to do that because it's not good for your bones. So higher testosterone levels...
It's not good for your sex life either.
Yep. Higher testosterone levels lead to less brittle bones, higher muscle gain, higher fat burning.
Smaller dick size. Sorry, I just...
I think it's testicles, yeah. maybe not shaft. I'm just gonna go there.
It's true though.
But
I had to go there. Sorry.
And a higher lifted F-150.
Wow. It's fantastic.
Oh, I'm looking at you, Paul.
Hold on.
I'm looking at you, Paul.
Oh, wait. No, that's not the one. There we go. How do I turn that off?
They both
turn. I'll just turn it down.
There you go.
Wow, that went...
Also, yeah, you said there are 12 to 13 ones, other 11. Girls also go to puberty before guys, so there's a point where girls are taller, stronger, faster, until they become 16, and then boys are, like, significantly taller. Their bones grow bigger.
Exactly.
Also, I mean, bones wider, but... And muscles bigger.
You know, something that I always heard when I was growing up is that girls mature faster than men.
Yes.
So is that still a thing? Or is it, guys are...
I don't know.
Kids are, the boys that you see beating up on trees with sticks are just as mature as the girls that are over there, doing arithmetic.
I think that's still true. I couldn't tell you. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. I don't go to school.
Well, you would be a sexist. If you disagreed with me, so
I would hate to be a sexist by pointing out the biological differences in men and women, and explaining why men bring in more views, more money to all their sports.
The moral of the story: women are under attack by trans people.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I've made the point that I'm willing to die on this hill that. I don't think that you can be a feminist and be pro-transgender at the same time.
It's an oxymoron.
Exactly. Like, you cannot be both. You cannot say that you want women to be empowered, right? And you want women to have equality and have a more fair life. And at the same time, argue that LeBron James should be playing in the WNBA because he feels like a woman.
Remember that?
You can't do both.
Have you seen that?
Actually, I would say... Oh, no, I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to get in trouble if I say this.
Have you seen the South Park episode where a character...
Randy Savage?
beats strong, independent woman. Strong, independent vice principal. Yeah. And literally everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. South Park, they... I don't know if we're on their level yet, but yeah, they definitely crossed some boundaries on that show.
Oh, they don't care.
They don't give a crap of who they take down. They've taken down Mormons, conservatives, Christians, Muhammad.
Yeah, exactly. The best thing is,
well, the one thing I'll point out about them though, and this is why they're such a huge show now, right from the get-go, is that they pointed out the things that are completely obvious that people are offended by, and they made a joke of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people saw comedy in that. And mm-hmm. I mean, they're on like season 20 something now. Yeah. I mean, they're like the Simpsons.
And the coolest thing about South Park, the reason that they're able to make such funny jokes that keep up with the times, a lot of people don't know this, is because they actually write every single episode like in that week. Like every single episode, they have no idea what they're going to do for the next one. They literally just brainstorm it and come up with it and produce it and put it out within a week. That's why everything is so kept up to date and everything's able to get out right away.
The vaccination special.
Is funny. That one was funny. I thought it was good.
Made fun of Q.
Made fun of everything.
Literally everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just keep going back to, but Carrie, I want to address you because I do appreciate you calling in and commenting. So saying that girls can't race, I don't think we said that girls can't race.
I didn't say girls couldn't race. What? No, I'm talking about like soccer.
And I believe that women should look up to women racers.
How about I say physical sports?
No, I need to clarify what I said. I said
contact sports.
I said that the state qualifying times are faster because the state qualifying times take the average of what they ran last year. So if girls suddenly started running flat 2 miles, then the state qualifying time would dip.
So have you ever heard of, I think it was, Jane Flojo or something like that. She's held the track record for like the last 30 years in women's track. I'm brain farting on the name. But within the last year, I think there's been like 16 males that identify as females that have broken her track record. So she held this thing for 30 years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
within the last year, there's been like 13 guys that have blown her out of the water.
Oh, no, it's been like 15,000.
Was it Flojo?
It's been 15,000.
Is it Flojo? Try to look up Flojo.
Check this though. I just wanted to point this out as far as like running and racing goes. The world record men's time in the mile, it says right here, is 3 minutes and 43 seconds. First of all, Jesus Christ, is that a fast mile? If I get less than like 8 minutes at this point, I'm so damn out of shape.
She's known as Flojo. Yeah. She's Florence Gareth Joyner.
So the
she's
men,
a remarkable woman.
The men's
I love her.
The men's time is 3:43, and the women's time is 4 minutes and 12 seconds. I don't know. Like, is that if you're running a mile race, is that like a big difference? Are they usually close finishes, or like what's the normal finish? Since you're the track guy here,
usually it depends on the race. Usually they're close, especially like
not within like this time frame here.
Like the D1 and the Olympics, they're always like fractions of a second apart.
Oh, so it's like close.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Yeah, they usually do more than one heat, and there's the competitive heat and then just the slower heats. The first heat's always like sub four.
So by that metric, if you lost by 29 seconds, you would be nowhere close to getting first, right? Mm-hmm. You would be not even arguably worse.
Just to clarify, when Carrie was commenting, I don't have a doubt in my mind that even her nieces would beat me in a race.
Oh, probably.
But I'm not a track athlete.
Exactly.
You know.
And the thing is, I don't want
people 4:19.
Like, I don't want her to get confused or think that I'm sexist here, because I want women to have sports. I just don't want men to play in those sports.
And
that's the thing. I love women's sports. I think it's great. I think it's a good thing that women can play sports and use their liberty in this country to decide what they want to do if they want to play sports or not.
I have to say, Flojo would beat me in a mile, no doubt.
Oh,
she would beat me by 6 seconds if you're comparing PRs. Like,
she'd probably beat me in a fight.
Oh, and I would just like.
I mean, yeah, we're not saying women aren't capable. It's just taking the average, men tend to have faster times. That's why state qualifying times,
or even at the highest level, the world records. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean,
there is definitely women high school athletes that could beat me in high school, but the state qualifying times are still faster because we're taking the averages.
Yeah.
We're not trying to diss women.
Yeah, for sure.
Really dissing women is having trans people go in.
I think the biggest diss to women is allowing men to compete in women's sports. I mean, exactly. You've seen the UFC ones of that. Well, I'm going to call him a dude because that's what he is.
And the chick that broke her collarbone?
Yeah, he's already fractured two girls' skulls in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Fractured their skulls.
Honestly, I want to find out this dude's name.
Senator Myrtle. Actually was the one who introduced, I think I'm saying your last name right, but Senator Myrtle, thank you for doing the bill. You are truly protecting women in sports.
Yes, thank you. Round of applause.
Okay. So
thank you.
So just to put it into perspective, I don't think that there would be any difference between a woman in a race car, between a man in a race car.
Of course, of course.
But I do think there is a difference between a woman running and a man running or fighting or wrestling or anything like that.
Well, go back to that first point, I didn't follow racing very much, but I heard Danica Patrick is a very bad racer.
Oh, yeah.
She caused like 17 crashes within 3 years.
They're way better racers. For our Dirty Thursday show, yeah, they can get into that. But
she's a bad example.
But with that, there are way better women racers out there than Danica Patrick. She's just got the public face for it. That's why I think that she's where she's at.
If the biological field is fair, I think men and women are just as good as just about anything. I think, you know, we're pretty comparable in like psychological activity and, you know, reaction times. We're not that much different. But when it comes to pure physical strength, men are stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Men are stronger. There's no debate about it. Okay, men and women are different. And if you're...
Why are we still talking about this?
I don't know. It's very interesting.
Let's get on to something else. Holy crap.
Okay, but I want to add the last point here. If you... Even regardless if you have gender dysphoria, which is a mental disorder, that's what causes transgenderism. It's when you think that you're a gender that you're not. It's called gender dysphoria. Look it up. Actual mental disorder. But whether you have that or not, if you identify as the gender you're not and you are going in a UFC ring and you're beating up chicks, I hope someone jumps you. I'm sorry. I don't put up with men beating women. I don't. And it like, okay, all right. So sexism is bad. Yes. We don't like it. Nobody here likes it. No. Okay, good. So if a man beats up a woman, I'm going to get pretty pissed off. Paul, are you going to get pretty pissed off?
Yeah.
It's the men's job to protect women.
Are you going to get pretty pissed off if you see a man beating up a woman?
Yes, that's because it's my job as a man to protect women, even though I'm gay.
So why are we okay with this? Why is society saying, you know what? You know what? You know, in the name of gender equality, he's so oppressed that we're going to let him go beat up females?
I will disagree with that in the fact of, I don't think it's a man's job to protect a woman. I think women can protect themselves. You know, they can own a firearm. They can shoot a gun just as well, if not better than a man.
I would say biologically,
no. But in, you know, like a case scenario of if, you know, there are a lot of weak men out there are a lot of stronger women out there. So that, on that note, I would say, you know, sometimes maybe the woman is stronger because there's a lot of guys out there that, you know what? They ain't that big.
There's also...
Societally,
of course they can protect themselves, but I'm talking like a stronger man tries to like hit on her. I feel it's my moral obligation to punch that dude in the face.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and this isn't even your fault. This is a biological thing that is built into men. And people that say we live in a rape culture and we live in a misogyny culture where women are all so oppressed.
I've punched dudes before that tried to... I've been at parties where dudes have tried to rape women and I've picked fights with them. It's
exactly
not good.
And a majority of dudes will follow you
to do so.
And a majority of dudes, I would probably say, would do the same thing that you did. We do not live in a rape culture. We do not live in a misogynist culture. Men want to protect women because we have the biological capability of protecting you from another man. And I'm sorry, but if you don't have a level playing field like a firearm or some kind of self-defense weapon on you, you are going to have a very hard time trying to.
Women should buy guns.
I'm gonna
cut us all off here. We're still gone. We have all kinds of other things I think we could talk about, other than whether or not men are stronger than women or women are stronger than men or, you know, blah blah blah. Who gives a shit? Honestly, there are so many things going on in the world right now. I think that's the least of our concerns.
Let's talk about doggy coin.
Dogecoin.
It absolutely went off.
Yep, Dogecoin. You guys can probably talk a little bit more about this. I only know so much. Like, I kind of have a basic understanding of how cryptocurrency works, but stocks and stuff, it's not my thing. So I'm going to let you guys take this over.
Stonks.
Okay, so I've been looking into this whole Bitcoin thing and everything that's going on because I've heard about it for years and I never knew anything about it. So I've been researching it for the last couple of weeks and it's crazy. It's crazy what's going on with this. So you got these blockchain miners and all this stuff and it's getting big. I mean, there's going to be $100 million facility that's going to be going up in North Dakota, I think in Grand Forks, that is going to be a cryptocurrency mining company. And there's also, you just pulled that graph up of, was that Dogecoin or is that Bitcoin?
I'll pull it up on the computer.
But
so I bought in Doge like April 12, 2019.
Really?
Yeah.
So are you a millionaire now?
No, I didn't buy that much, but I bought like $50 worth.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're probably at like, what, $500,000 now? Yeah.
You want to pull up the screen? This is actually...
Really?
Or I don't know. Let me do the math.
It's being sarcastic.
Wait, you want to pull up the screen?
I bought more today. All
right, let's see what's up here.
So this is Dogecoin's stock. Actually, this is just in the last day.
It's crypto. It's not a stock.
Okay, sorry. Not crypto. Stonk. So this is in the last week. So this is from the 9th. It was at about 6 cents a share. It's now worth 25-ish, something like that, if I can get close enough. Yeah, it's like 21. I think right now it's at like 25 cents, actually, if we get like the more updated version, I believe. Oh, yeah, it's close.
Okay.
And yeah, it's going up, and apparently like they're experts saying it's supposed to hit a dollar by like possibly the end of the month.
Okay,
it's going up, so buy.
$10,000.
So something I would also like to point out too, because a buddy of mine, they were in the paper. They're opening up. They're going to be making a cargo container, and it's going to be basically like an energy engine. for people that want to mine cryptocurrency. Because the big thing about it, I guess, is that if you want to do this, it takes an insane amount of energy to run these computers. So that's why they got this huge facility that's going up, because that's actually owned by some people out of Hong Kong that have billions of dollars, and they're coming here and they're, you know, putting this up so they can, you know, use our energy. But the guys that are going to be putting this up, I can't remember what the company name is, but they're using Minn Kota power, and they're going to be actually putting like cargo containers that are going to capture energy so people can use that energy to mine this cryptocurrency. So if you're somebody that's into mining, you realize how expensive it is. You can get a hold of them once this thing opens up, and it's going to be probably like in the middle of July, kind of August area. And it's going to be like your hub to be able to just, you know, hook up your graphics cards, your processors and all that stuff to mine these, you know, these blockchains. Mm-hmm. It's going to be insane. It's like the future, I think.
Do you kind of want to describe how cryptocurrency works really quick for anybody that doesn't know that's listening?
I can try. I mean, I've only been looking into it for a couple of weeks. But from my understanding is that you have all these servers throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And these servers are the miners that are, and miners like you dig for coal.
Yeah.
And you get rewarded for being one of the people that are helping, you know, distribute the algorithm. So you get a reward for being a server host. So the more mines that you, or blockchains that you can mine from, AKA the more servers you can host, the more you're going to get rewarded.
Yeah.
And these rewards will come in the form of cash. And then with the way that it's going to work, it's kind of like having a Visa card. You're going to have a cryptocurrency wallet that you can go use at an ATM, and you can pull out cash, or you can do whatever you want with. So there's big money in this. It's kind of the wave of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hope it takes over our Federal Reserve system right now.
Yeah, actually, there's one currency called Endow that has its own. It's the most stable crypto right now. It's called Endow. And you basically, if you buy into it, it has monetary policy. So it's able to preserve itself. Oh, sorry. It preserves itself.
Yeah.
Because they can either pump more into the supply, or they can take from the supply.
No, actually, the really cool thing about like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, for anybody that doesn't know, like,
it's not stable.
Oh, like, can't you just create more cryptocurrencies and stuff like that? From what I understand, Bitcoin to work, so there's this string of codes. It's randomly picked codes. There are trillions, possibly like quintillions of different codes. Like, they're impossible to find. People spend hundreds of thousands and possibly even millions, like you said, of dollars just trying to mine these things because of how much power it takes. But you have to find these really specific codes, and that is like one Bitcoin. That, like, if you find out a code, that's one Bitcoin. Now, the thing is for every Bitcoin that's mined, I believe like a new digit gets added onto the end of it, which makes it harder to find a new Bitcoin, which is actually a better safeguard against inflation than the Federal Reserve system we have now, where our government is just spending these like $2 trillion COVID packages, and we're literally just printing money.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this too, is that it's...
You can't just make it up on the spot.
It's all complete. There's a limited amount. The transactions are transparent. Mm-hmm. So right now, with COVID and everything that's going on, the government is taking all this money, but they own all the servers, they own all the data, so you don't actually know what they're using the money for. You don't know where it's going.
Exactly.
But with this new cryptocurrency thing, it's all right there. And you don't know who is actually buying or selling, mm-hmm. but you can track it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can pretty much figure out, you know, where it's coming from without it being, you know, like Ben spent that money.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, with like what you were touching on as far as like the distrust and stuff like that in our government, it kind of gets into what I wanted to finally like to finish on for this podcast. You don't want to.
Yeah, we might have to finish pretty soon. They're starting the construction up out here. I'm just hearing
And we're on for like an hour and 10 minutes right now. But I wanted to talk again, just kind of touch again about a little more on the culture issue. And really, I have it labeled on my notes as just the bigger picture. So it really sucks that they're going to be doing this during my monologue when I've been waiting all show to do this. But you know what? I'm going to keep pushing through this anyways. There is... We are in the midst of a very big culture war in the United States. And the biggest problem is the people that are controlling the information. I have zero trust in our government anymore. So I know we didn't actually get to touch on this at all, but with CNN... they've recently just been exposed. I can't believe we completely forgot about this topic, I believe. But Project Veritas and James O'Keefe, he's the founder of Project Veritas. He's recently just been banned on Twitter indefinitely because he owns Project Veritas, which is this media organization where they send people out and they kind of do like the guerrilla type tactics of journalism, where they'll get like hidden cameras and they'll send people out and they'll try to set people up to say things that they are not supposed to say publicly and get it on camera. So that's basically what Project Veritas does. They have got Charlie Chester, who is the technical director of CNN, literally to basically just let the cat out of the bag, pretty much. So supposedly, this is the funny thing, he supposedly got set up by a Tinder date and he sent this girl out, supposedly. And she got videos of him literally just letting the cat out of the bag, and he really just doesn't hold back. If we want to play a little bit of this...
We're probably going to have that glitchy audio, but we can try it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, go ahead and try it. Let's see what happens.
We'll try it.
I think we got him through this term. We would always show shots of him jogging, him in aviator shades, and like painting as a young geriatric.
We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about. You know,
This is about Trump's health when they were trying to say that they were worried about what's wrong with them. He's bragging that they got Trump out.
I can't believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear? Like climate?
Yeah, fear sells. Fear sells.
Fear sells.
Those things out loud, but it's obvious.
And what is it you do?
Technical director, it's one step down from director.
So I would highly recommend everyone go check out that entire video. It's on projectveritas.com. You could probably find it. Just do a quick little Google search. There are two parts to that. He literally just exposes basically everything. He actually at one point actually says that CNN is literally propaganda at one point. That's his words, not mine. So yeah, the cat's out of the bag.
What it really is.
Yeah, the hashtag expose CNN has been trending on Twitter all weekend ever since the story broke like 2 days ago. But the bigger picture.
You love that word.
I really do. I really, because that's really what this is all about. There is a group higher than our government right now. They have more control than our government right now. I'm talking about big tech, and I'm talking about big companies, big corporations.
China.
They're owned by China. It's big tech. It's fake news. CNN literally just admitted their fake news on camera. We got it. I've been saying it the whole time. Okay. Anyway.
That was really good.
I'm not going to lie. That was really good. I practice. I get bored. So, but there's so much distrust coming from these people. They are stronger than our government. They are the ones that kind of control things. They're the ones that are setting things in motion. They're the ones that are going out and being against this Georgia bill. They're the ones that are going out and they're trying to push these Democratic agendas. And you got to ask yourself why. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. I believe that a majority of Americans do not have a lot of trust within our government. But
they don't. The polls say so.
But when you have the founder of Project Veritas that's getting banned on Twitter for exposing CNN, are CNN and Twitter working together? Was Amazon, Apple Store, and Twitter and Facebook working together when they got Parler taken off the Amazon Web Services because they were going to pose a threat to Twitter because a lot of people were joining on that, and Amazon just said, yeah, we're not going to host you anymore? why did whose idea was it to get President Trump off of all Twitter, Facebook, Instagram? How did that all happen at once? How did that happen? There is a group of people that is higher than our government that can censor the presidents of the United States. They can censor stories about Hunter Biden and his laptop before the actual election itself, which around 10% of Biden voters said they probably would have changed their vote to Trump if, you know, they would have found out about that story. But no, they hid it. Anybody that tried to say anything about that post got literally deleted off social media, off their Twitters, Facebook, anybody that just tried to post the link to the story so other people could see it. We have a group of people that is literally the information monopoly of not only the United States, probably the world as well. I don't trust anything they tell me anymore.
You know, and you know, I know we're going past an hour here, but we're gonna have to keep going with this. Anna Marie, thank you. She said, thanks for keeping things real, guys. I like the way you can go with the flow with giving your 2 cents worth. I respect everyone's opinion, even though it sometimes is different than mine. That's exactly what we're doing. I mean, you know, if you're offended, turn it off.
Exactly.
But we're trying to be here to just give information and talk about our opinions and all that stuff. But the reason I said that, we're going to have to keep going, because you just tapped into something that is going even further.
It's so real, and people aren't waking up.
No, so we got some serious issues on our hand.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the world right now?
Ukraine, what's going Russia, on in your China and Taiwan? Yeah,
what, Ukraine? China, Taiwan.
And we're over here worried about some guy who is a criminal that accidentally got shot by a police officer, and we're burning our cities down over it. Meanwhile, Ukraine and Russia are about to go to war, and we're about to get involved in it.
Yeah, and not
who
only that.
Who cares what's going on here? Who, like, okay, yes, okay, Dante Wright dying, terrible thing, all right? It's a tragedy,
it's,
right?
I think it's a smokescreen. It's a smokescreen.
Things going on here than to worry about, oh, I'm a transgender and I feel oppressed in the United States. I'm black. Who cares? Genuinely, yeah. Who cares if you're gay? Who cares if you're... I don't give a shit about your identity politics. Just be a good person.
Right.
And we can all grow together. You don't have to worry about, okay, we need to increase welfare because the people that can't go out and they can't work for themselves, they can't provide a living for themselves. Okay, how about this? Instead of telling people, hey, we're going to take money out of your pockets and we're going to push it to these people, how about we say, okay, hey, how about we all just get ourselves better? You get yourself better. I get myself better. You focus on yourself, make yourself better. We all get better together, but I don't have to like pay for you guys to do things. You do it yourself, and it works.
Okay, so if everyone's asking what's going on in Russia, so Russia is putting more troops day by day into Ukraine, and they've been shipping supplies there to separatists, and that's not a good thing. It's definitely not a good thing.
Yeah, this is not looking good.
Well, not only that, but I just found out, you know, I mean, I haven't fact-checked or anything. I'm not that guy. But so apparently Trump had said that he's going to draw the troops out by May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an agreement with, I think it was, Afghanistan or I don't know. I can't remember.
The never-ending wars.
Yeah. But now Biden is keeping them there, going against that agreement. And so they're calling for blood, saying, hey, we had this agreement. You were supposed to get out of here. And now you're not, and now they're going for blood.
This is why I say there are bigger issues within the United States. We have a culture. It's not just a culture war. It's a culture. It's a culture crisis, right?
So the West is in crisis.
Exactly. The West is in distress, just like the title of this episode says.
You're welcome. I made it up. Oh, okay.
No, I am team here, Mr. Ethan.
Says the one that always talks.
Yeah, all right. My bad.
Oh, wait, that was a real...
Come on.
You got to turn it up. It's got to turn.
Hey.
I think I got to get a better drum clap than that.
Some great banter. But yeah, like, it honestly goes deeper. If we haven't gotten removed from YouTube, like, we're going to right now because I don't give a shit. People need to hear this.
Okay, there's been some confirmed news that Ukraine is apparently considering equipping itself with nukes. If the Eastern European country does not become a member of NATO, the Ukraine envoy said to Germany.
And Biden actually put sanctions on Russia today, didn't he?
Not enough,
but he's poking the bear. Literally, like, it's a Russia joke, bears, but
yeah.
Literally. This is not good.
We need to take away their vodka.
You know what we need to do? We need to stop with this petty, like, stupid identity politics bullshit.
Yeah, they're just watching us destroy our own economies, mm-hmm. our own everything, while they're over there just
dealing with real issues in the world.
That's
why China and Russia are literally flexing their muscles right now. They put the racial bullshit into our mainstream media, and then now they're taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Everybody do some research on how much of Hollywood is owned by China, and you will be surprised. You will be very surprised. China owns a large part of Hollywood.
How much do you think they own of Twitter and don't even Facebook and all the other social media platforms? I guarantee you that they probably got their hands so far deep in the pockets there that they can just be like, hey, you know what? We'll cut the plug on you.
Yeah.
And everybody's just going to be like, well, we need that.
Yeah, there is a real crisis just happening not only in the country but in the world, and we need to wake the hell up. Otherwise, we are going to have a very, very rude awakening in the name of nuclear bombs.
And not only that, but I was talking about this the other day with somebody, and, you know, our army is great, but we aren't the civilization that we used to be. And I think that overseas, these people, like, they are men. And I don't think there's a lot of those left in America.
Yeah, I don't think that, I don't hear much about, you know, the Russian army having to put in the maternal suits for wing fighter jet pilots. I don't know. English is very hard for me. Maybe I should just learn. I should just learn Chinese, honestly, at this point. I mean, I'm probably going to be just as well off in 5 years if I start learning Chinese now. So, yeah, I mean, get involved. That's all I can literally say. Mm-hmm. If you're not saying anything right now, say something.
Yeah. How about
this? Say something. Stop this. How about BLM this? Bullshit.
Turn off TikTok. Turn off CNN.
Get a job.
Turn on and look at what's going on in the actual world. The world right now is about to drop their big, heavy fist on our little ass country.
Mm-hmm. And we are over here worried about whether men should be allowed to play women's sports
or not. The West needs to fight back. We have a superior civilization. Western civilization is superior, but we need to fight back against the degeneracy and fight back against communism that's obviously back on the rise.
Yep.
We need to go back to containment. We need to fight back. We need to stop Russia, China from flexing its muscles, not just by military, but ingraining racial bullshit into our country and racial narratives into this country.
And the virus.
Yep.
China's not going to pay for that. No, if you think that Biden's going to make China pay for the virus, you are a dumbass and you watch too much CNN. Like, you're watching too much of that guy on the screen who's literally going out and saying they push propaganda because fear sells. He actually goes on later in this video. They were talking about COVID numbers, and like he would talk about how like James Zucker, the CEO, would call him and he'd be like, why aren't like the COVID numbers on the screen? And he'd be like, oh, well, why don't we just bump them up? It makes it look better. Or like it obviously, as he says, it instills more fear. Fear sells.
Yep.
So look at that. You got him on video lying about COVID numbers, lying about all this bullshit about how, COVID's so dangerous. And they're pushing propaganda on you to make you think a certain way in ways that are verifiably false.
Well, no, yeah, but look at how, you know, America is right now. Everybody's scared. Mm-hmm. They're locking themselves up. They don't want to go out. They're masking up. They're doing all this stuff. And overseas, you know what they're probably doing? Training.
Yeah.
Training to come in here and wipe out our little wussy civilization.
Exactly. So, yeah.
All right. Should we end on that note?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'll play the music.
Comment. Make sure to follow us on all the socials. Like, subscribe, comment, all the things. Trump voice for the outro. Everyone get involved in your local political races. Get loud. It's time for the conservative movement to start speaking. It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be huge. So
I'm going to run for office. I'm made up my mind. I'm running for office.
Ethan's running for office. Nice. We're going to get behind him. We're going to... You have my full endorsement, sir. We need to get rid of these rhinos.
Yeah, there's certainly the construction out there too. So, hey, everybody, remember to check out our other shows on GFBS. And by the way, anything that we say on this show has nothing to do with the other shows that we do. Yes. So every Dirty Thursday, if you're into dirt track racing, you know, the River City Speedway, the Devil's Lake Speedway, all that kind of stuff. All the racers are great. We got a whole wall of fame going on. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m., we got our morning update if you just want your local news breakdown. We're also working on getting a, you know, a sports show coming up here that should be rolling out next week. So we'll be talking about, like, the NFL draft, all that kind of stuff. And what else am I missing?
I would honestly just say, like, just as, like, a just one call to action, all I ask people to do is share this podcast with anybody. Literally,
yep. Like, share, tag, follow, hit the bell, whatever.
Sharing, especially, like, even if you just post this on your Facebook timeline, get it out there. We need people to hear this message. We need people to start getting loud. We need people to get behind our movement. And we need people that aren't going to be afraid of the woke mob, because we need to stand up or we're going to lose our country. Trust me, I follow this every day, and I do not say that lightly when I say we are losing our country right now if we don't step up.
Take our country back.
Exactly.
Hey, now, you know what?
Falls.
I also forgot too. We got to thank Executive Properties for also sponsoring the show tonight. If you've been putting off that remodel or something new around the house, let Executive Properties get it done. They do all types of commercial and residential work: kitchens, bathrooms, doors, siding, concrete, cabinets, trim, tile. I mean, they do everything. Executive Properties will take the time to listen to what you want done, and they'll do it right. And not only that, but if they don't do that job, they'll call you back and they'll let you know who somebody who does. They'll always get back to you. They have Barry Romo with over 30 years of experience. I mean, he's going to come in there. He's going to bid the job. He's going to do it right from start to finish. So for all your general contractor needs, call Executive Properties at 701-330-1273 or check out their website, executiveproperties.org. And you know, check out their reviews on Facebook and Google. I mean, they're all great. You'll love their work. Contact Executive Properties if you have anything coming up. It's getting into spring. They're gonna get super busy, so if you want to get anything done, get a hold of them now. All right, guys. Hey, you know, everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for everybody for chiming in, giving us your 2 cents. You know, this is what we're here to do. We're on what, episode 21? All right.
Yes, sir.
Going on episode 50.
Yeah, again, share. Get this out to people, family, friends, members.
Spread faster than Corona.
Spread this thing faster than coronavirus. Let's get this thing to blow up. Yeah. Honestly, we need people to hear this message, I think. And but anybody that agrees, please just share this to anybody that you can. We're getting the message out there. We need to fight back, and someone needs to do it. So the bigger we can make this podcast, the more that we can help to try to fight back.
Bigger is better.
All right.
We can build back better.
Hell no.
Even better than Biden, though.
Boris Johnson came up with that first. But we can talk about some other time.
They all suck. All right. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.
Night, everybody.
I got you and you got me, so we can't find